5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, get pissed and destroy indeed. That was the Sex Pistols, Anarchy in the UK. One of my favourite songs of all time, that. And a good old rollicking way to start the show. A bit of music from Britain. I don't think America actually did much with punk. I mean, they sort of watered it down like they do many things and sort of spoilt it a little bit, but hey, you know, I'm gonna get sort of into trouble now, so better be quiet. So hey, welcome one and all. It is episode 81 of the new Panic Room. It's not new. I say it every week. We're gonna have to change the name. It's just the Panic Room. That same old. Go call it the same old Panic Room. I thought yesterday was Thursday all day, and it's so much so I actually put my trash out. and it's been out. I'll be getting a letter from the HOA, no doubt, because they're just a bunch of trash Nazis, I call them. So, anywho. Speaking of, she's going to kill me for this one. Speaking of trash. With a yeehaw and yippee doo, it's the old mate buckle, it's Xtina.
Oh God, you know what?
Did you like the smooth segue? Did you like that?
Oh,
was great,
yeah,
wasn't it? Because
yeah.
How is like? Do you know? I was thinking of you the other day because we when we moved over from England, we long story short, we brought over a faux leather fake Chesterfield sofa. And it was in the boys' room for like 5 years. They trashed it. It's held together with duct tape and bits of string, and it's put a throw over it. And I was thinking of getting rid of it. I thought, you know, that would be great for Xtina's front yard. You could sit out there, you're swigging your moonshine with all the trailer truck people. You'd be great.
The bad thing is that. I had to move my dinette set. I had a cute little dinette set and chairs. I don't have room for it because I had to move something else, and now it's sitting on the front porch. So it's close to a sofa, but you know, it's still trash that's sitting on the front porch. But I did want to say that I kind of expected the segue to be, you know, Xtina, the same old, and then when you passed up a good one for an even better one. So bravo.
There you go.
And I also wanted to say, you said you played your favorite song, and I don't think we've ever played my favorite song. We definitely
we played the Frankie Valli last week. That was for you.
Well, yeah, but that's not my favorite song.
Well, if you actually bothered, because I how many times have I said, give me some ideas for songs, and you never bother? I'm not psychic, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very true. I want to hear, well, it's not like I'm putting it in a request now, but The Joker by the Steve Miller Band. That is my go-to answer when anybody ever asks me. You need to have go-to answers for anything, you know, like favorite movie. I just spit out Fight Club. Mm-hmm. Even if it might not be my favorite movie, it's a go-to answer. So my go-to answer when somebody says, "What's your favorite song?"
So what you're saying is that people ask these questions and you lie to them. Well, yeah, it's a bit disingenuous, to be honest. You know, but I tell the truth. You know, my favorite movie obviously is Hellraiser. I think we've played it on the show is This the Way Life's Meant to Be by the Electric Light Orchestra, which is from their album Time, which I think was 1979. Bit of a fan, as you can probably tell. And it's just, there's just something about it, the melody, the lyrics, and it just, you know, it touches my soul, that song. You know, Mel, obviously, like many tunes, but that one, just something about it. Something about that song that, you know, but no, I don't lie to people like that. So there you go. Hello? I think we've lost Xtina. I don't know where she's gone. Not sure where she's gone. No? Okay, well, yeah. You just disappeared. Where did you go? Oh, we've dropped. It's all going on tonight. I'm not sure whether we can blame AT&T or Xtina's phone company. So I'll tell you. Okay, what have we got on the show tonight? We have any moment now. We have horror writer Veronica Smith, who I'm really looking forward to chatting with. Heard great things about her and whatnot. And we have author Mo Maybe. To be fair, sounds like a jazz musician. To be honest, if you're listening, Mo, great. Great name, love the name. So there's that. Alfie Eckstein, what are you playing at, woman?
Yeah, I didn't do
what
anything.
What is going on with
there.
You? You just disappeared.
I could hear
went.
You. No, I think you know. I blame AT&T because I could hear you the whole time, and I was blathering, and now I forget what I was blathering. And you know what? I think it was a very good blather too. So. I blame you. I do. I blame you for a lot of things, so I guess that's okay.
You do. I mean, everything was fine. Everything was fine at this end. So, okay, I've done your bit for you. Do you want to do it again? I mean, oh, you know what we've not done? It's the new
What's
segment.
That?
It's the new segment.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa.
So, hey, what is new, pussycat? Oh, that's cheesy, isn't it? Cheesy
I'm
ass
I'm never
going to
get tired of hearing that. No, I like it, though.
I am so sorry, listener. That was just cheesy beyond cheesy, wasn't it? What is new in the big bad world of Hellbound Books Publishing this week?
I should know more than I do.
You have no idea, do you? You have no idea.
Wait, no, I wanted to say that... Insight to Evil Insides, that was released yesterday, and we were going to have the Facebook event party release thingy tomorrow. So that's woohoo! It's a wonderful book of dark poetry, and I love the cover. I love everything about it, and I'm really excited, and I want everybody to go to Amazon, go to Hellbound Books, and buy this book because it's amazing. And I've compared it to Nikki Sixx's... what is that called? Heroin Diaries. And so I think it was amazing. I know that I read just a couple of poems way back when, and I was like, wow, this is good. We have to publish this. So that's the thing that, you know, I keep thinking about.
It is an awesome. I've had the privilege of reading that, and you know, I'm not a poemy person.
You're not.
But
it is
incredible. It really is. Plus, as well, we did. We had her on last week, and she was a delight.
And she rapped for us. Yeah, she rapped for
brilliant.
Us. That was really cool.
that is a first on this show. We haven't had anyone rapping on the show before, so we need to bring her on again and just have her rapping for us.
Yes.
And
yes,
we just need to find somebody who can beatbox first, though.
So if you can beatbox, you know, let us know. We can put you on the show. That'd be really fun.
Put you on the show with Sadie, and you can do sort of a double act thing. So, it was a whole bunch on the way of books going to be popping up in April. But in the meantime, we have them from James Watts. We'll be popping up sometime sort of early March. We have just signed Luke Walker again, actually. His first book is not out yet, and he's been signed for his second book. It was so bloody good. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, it's happening. There's just not enough hours in the day, which is hence I said earlier, I spent all day yesterday thinking it was Thursday and put my trash out. So
it's been there.
And you know, the homeowners association here, they're like the Gestapo. They really are. You get a letter. But the problem is they're that inefficient. The little man drives around, I think, once a week, and you get a letter that's.
Yeah.
By the time you get it, you know, it's like, you know, a bit of your fence was flapping. Well, I fixed that a fortnight ago, dude. You left your trash out, yeah, but it's like the news, it's a week old news, mate. You know, just go do, get a proper job. You just get a proper job. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I definitely have to, you know, keep up more of what's going on with Hellbound. I do, because all I keep saying, I've said now for 2 weeks the bit about Sadie, but I'm excited about that. I am, being a poet myself, and then, you know, reading her stuff and thinking I may need to relinquish my tiara, at least for the event, you know, for the party. I think I'm going to pass it to Sadie for the party, but I need it back afterwards. If you're listening, Sadie, it's my tiara, but you can borrow it.
Oh, you know, there's going to be, we're going to have to get it. There's going to be a bitch fight coming. I can tell. Well, hopefully it'll put pressure on you, because we just signed Sadie's second poetry book, and you're just lagging behind now, to be honest. You need to pull your finger out and do Dark Musings too, otherwise you are going to lose that crown. Oh, tiara,
dark
sorry.
Dark Musings too. Yeah, tiara. It's a tiara. She might want a crown, and that's a totally different, you know, area as me. And she can have a crown because I'm sticking with a tiara. I think tiaras are way cuter. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you tell that to the queen. She just tries to fuck off. And she does. She talks like that because she's actually from Yorkshire. She fuck off, you daft bastard. I'm not wearing a tiara.
Yeah.
You wazzock.
Oh, I was going to say wanker. Wanker
would have
been fun.
Well, no, wanker, to be fair, wanker's sort of more of a southern. I mean, we do use it up north, but wazzock is a good Yorkshire one. Pillock is another good one. So there you go. We're going to have to have Yorkshire lessons, I think, on the show.
Because I have no clue what you're talking about right now or even saying. So that's cool.
So anywho, should we?
We should. Of course.
Well, I don't want to now. Of course I do. Is that Veronica? Are you there, Mom?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Well, yay. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, fine, except I thought yesterday was Thursday, too.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was like Tuesday. My mom messed up.
Oh, so tomorrow's going to be a bit of a shock for you, isn't it? It was a disappointment for me, actually, I got to halfway through my morning, and it was only when I realised that the trash men hadn't been, and nobody else on the street has got their trash out, that I realised it wasn't Friday. I thought, for fuck's sake, seriously? And they'll be talking about me. I know they will down the street. Oh, the daft old sod. What is going on with him? Plus, as well, there's been a stray dog running around the street all day. And of course, every time it goes past our house, our dogs just go crackers. You know, so trying to work it. Because one goes, they all go. You know, it's all.
Yeah.
Oh, see. And I thought, what is going on? Have we got Jehovah's Witnesses again? What is it? And it's not. It's this bloody stupid little dog running around. And I thought, oh, God's sake.
You know, I picture you as the who is it? Osbournes, the Ozzy Osbournes family. Mm-hmm. I picture that. So I could see you running down the streets, you know, naked, clutching your whiskey bottle, hollering for Sharon or something like that. I can see that in my mind. Has that ever happened?
if that's your fantasy of me, then okay, that's fine. A little bit weird, to be honest.
I don't know if I would say fantasy.
You know, my fantasies tend to sort of involve Scarlett Johansson and baby oil. But hey, well, you know, each to his own. Each to his own. And the dwarf, obviously. Don't forget him.
Yes, we can't forget the dwarf.
No, we cannot. So, just to try and raise the tone a little bit, Veronica, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me.
Here to talk to us about Transparent Walkways, a collection of short stories. And I've heard great things about Veronica. Where are you calling from at the moment? Where are you geographically?
Katy, Texas, about 20 miles west of Houston.
I knew that because you're literally down the road from me.
I know.
How frightening is that? Are you scared now? Wouldn't it be fun if I sort of, you know, this was all mobile and I turned up at your door? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Hello. No, I'm not going to. Don't panic. But so yes, you know, it's been a lovely warm Texas afternoon, hasn't it?
Better than the freezing it was a week ago.
Oh yeah. Did you wrap all your outside pipes up with old towels? Because we did that.
We have those foam things that go around the pipes and they stay all year round.
Posh. We just use old towels. You know, the neighbours look at me like I am trailer trash. They really do. You really? You've got old bath towels. Right? No, well, you know.
My fantasy's not that far off. You know, you run it down the street in your underwear.
No, it's
not. I knew
not.
I was right.
There you go. Yeah, that probably well, funnily enough, actually, today our power went off, so of course I had to go and see one of the neighbours, and I just had sort of my comfy trousers on, because I did, obviously, at home all day, and I just sit and write in my comfy trousers, and so, yeah, I pretty much had my pyjamas on. I popped next door but wanted to see if their lecky was off as well, so, yeah, you're not far. So I'm just feeding your twisted fantasy now, so... So, hey, Veronica, do tell us about transparent walkways.
Well, I've had short stories that I've just been collecting, and I've submitted some, and, you know, they don't always get accepted where they're going, and I didn't know what to do with them all. I thought, why don't I just make a collection of them? And I've scattered some of my flash fiction in between the stories, and they vary from all different types of horror, psychological, to monsters, to... I actually have one dark humor, which I... have never done before, but it was actually a lot of fun.
So horror. I mean, you know, you seem like such a lovely person. Why on earth do you write such horrific things?
Well, that way I don't do it in real life.
You know, there are so many horror writers that say that. It frightens me a little bit because I think all the people who don't write horror is, you know, is this what they're harboring inside them? Is, you know, really, that's kind of spooky. I hear that answer all the time. It's kind of cool, but spooky at the same time.
I mean, for all of us, it's kind of therapy, I guess.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, my husband likes to tease everybody and say that I've killed him off in several stories.
Do you know, I think that I lost count of the number of my stories that has an ex-wife that gets it. So I've murdered my ex-wife and many, many times. Many, many times.
Well... I am anxious to get to the reading because that's my favorite part. I get to drink a little bit more when the guest is reading. So it's exciting. So do you have a reading for us?
Any excuse to drink.
I know, but this is at least a legitimate one, maybe.
Mm. Okay. Well, the story I'm planning on reading, at least part of it, is one called Last One in the Chamber for You, My Love. But I'm going to shorten it to Last One in the Chamber because that's just too damn long. And I actually thought of this up in the shower when I was doing my hair. You know, stories just come to me out of the blue. So you just got to write them down when you get out. So.
Right.
Yeah, that is true. Right. That is true. Before they fade away.
Yes, indeed. Because they do. As soon as you sleep, half of it's gone.
So we're ready.
Right, off you go, Veronica.
All right, here we go. Last one in the chamber. Hello? Hello, is anyone there? Why can't I see anything? Where am I? It's dark and I can't see or feel anything. I feel closed up like I'm buried under a pile of thick coats. Anyone help? I feel movement all around me as if I'm in an earthquake or something. But this is Texas. Our earthquakes are tiny, just little hiccups in the earth. A sudden blinding horizontal slit of light is growing right before me. For a second, everything is so white and bright. David, thank God, where have you been? I'm shouting right in his face, but he just looks at me, looks down at me. Why is he looking down at me? Am I in bed? I try to look around, but my head won't move. Actually, nothing moves. I can only see straight up and whatever it is in that view. What's wrong with me? David, please talk to me. Why won't he answer me? He stares at me thoughtfully, and I'm beginning to be afraid. He tentatively reaches toward me with his thumb and index finger. Is he going to pinch or tickle me? I wait for the horrifying, delightful torture he used to inflict on me as a child. David is my older brother by 5 years, old enough to want nothing to do with a pesky younger brother. But for some reason, he took me everywhere with him. Some said we were as close as twins. I'm 18 now, and he is 23. But right now, he looks older, so much older. I don't think his wavy blonde hair has been washed in over a week. I wonder what's happened. He must be visiting Mom and Dad, and I didn't know he was coming. He moved out 3 years ago, but only lives 30 minutes away. I find myself being pulled into the air as if David has plucked me up with his fingers. Paul, he moans softly. Finally! David, I'm right here. David, what's going on? Tears well up in his eyes and escape the corners, trailing down his cheeks. He wipes them quickly at the sound of the front door opening. A beautiful young woman comes into my vision. Gail, hey, I'm here. What the hell? She won't talk to me either. Gail has been my girlfriend for over a year. We met in our senior year of high school, and we both go to the University of Houston. I love this woman, and I plan to pop the question in the next year or two. But right now, she's looking at me like I've grown a third arm. Maybe I have. I can't even feel my arms. Vertigo is hitting me as I'm passed through the air to her fingertips. What? Did I get put into a shrinking machine? I feel so tiny, like I'm Fay Wray and King Kong is holding me. So this is it, she asks, crying. How many are there? How many of what? There are 20, David answers, narrowing his blue eyes with a grim expression. This should be more than enough for just three, but we had to buy the minimum, which is 250. Dad says he's got feelers out, so we'll find them soon. I want to scream at them, wave my hands around, but I can do nothing. I must wait it out to find out what's going on. I see the dark coming down on me, then all is black. The lights hit me hard again as I'm once again blinded by its brightness. I don't feel as if I've been asleep, but I'm not sure I've been awake either. Dad? Mom? My parents are peering at me in the same odd manner that Gail was. They both look haggard and tired. Am I deformed? Why can't I move? Are we still doing this? I hear David ask our parents. My father has a strange look on his face. I didn't know any better. I'd say it was murderous. Even my mother looks pissed, and she used to be a teacher. It takes a lot to piss her off. She reaches down and picks up a framed picture. It's me. It's my high school graduation picture. I look so studious in the blue cap and gown, but my blonde hair was long, not so prim and proper. And I'm holding the fake diploma with a stupid grin on my face. I'd never be a model, that's for sure, but I could pull out a mean blue steel. She hangs the picture up on our large corkboard that's been in the kitchen since I was in kindergarten. Over the years, it's had report cards, pictures, reminders, you name it, it's been pinned all over it. You were lucky to fit anything on it, but today it is clean. Absolutely clean. Mom pushes in a pin and puts my picture right at the top. What the hell? Why doesn't she put it back on the wall where it was, next to my brother's graduation picture? Then Mom, Dad, and David start pinning various pieces of paper around it. Many are printed out letter-sized pages, but some are just newspaper clippings. From where I am, I can't see the papers. It'll just move out of the way. Oh, there we go. What the hell? No, no, no. This can't be true. I'm dead? And that's it for now.
Wow,
oh, I like
that. Awesome.
Awesome.
So is he dead? Are they dead or what was going on?
Well, yeah. You have to get the book to find out.
Oh, nice. Well, smooth. Yeah, you got to buy the book, Fatty. Hey, excellent. Nice. Well, tell me. That was great. Add me hook. That was good. I like that.
It's read really well too. Yeah, I was right there in the story, and I at first when it first started, I thought, you know, buried alive or something, because that was, you know, that. Yeah. Oh, you're laughing. Have you written about, you know, being buried alive or something?
No, not that. Kind of
evil. There was like an evil laugh there. Did you hear it, James? I did. I did.
I'm a bit frightened that she just lives around the corner from me now, actually. I'm considering moving. Alaska's looking good right now.
When you mentioned the loose dog in the neighborhood, it made me think of my next door neighbors because their dog's always out in the neighborhood.
Awesome. It's scary stuff, but it's funny. I mean, I don't know if you mix with a lot of other horror writers, Veronica, but we really are an odd bunch when you think about it. Probably more than any other genre, I guess. Because the weird shit that just comes out of our heads is, I think if we ever stopped to think and look at it and look at it, well, that actually did come out of my head, and I think we'd be just scared of ourselves all the time. You know, I think, I've said it before, you know, we are probably the only people around who can actually profit from our nightmares. You know, I have a good nightmare and I'm thrilled. I will get up and write it straight now. It's all material, isn't it?
Yeah, every time I tell somebody, oh my God, I had the worst dream, and most of the time I talk to a bunch of horror writers, and that's the first thing they tell me every time. Did you write it down? No, I was terrified. Maybe I should have.
Yeah. Well, you should. I mean, I will do. Sometimes I will wait. It's funny. Veronica mentioned the shower. I actually have a little waterproof notepad and pencil in the shower. So if I have an idea in the shower, I can actually jot it down. The problem is I'm so short-sighted. Of course, I don't have my glasses on, so I'm literally got my nose almost pressed up to this little tiny notepad trying to write it down with a waterproof pencil. But it has actually. Because the killer is you have this really, really good idea, and then by the time you've washed and got out of the shower, you've forgotten it, and there is nothing more frustrating. You know, either really, and it's gone, you know, and usually forever. And it's just soul-destroying. I hate that. Absolutely hate that.
Ideas.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, mm-hmm. no. I was just going to say that a lot of times the dreams that I think are terrifying, that I'm like, oh, my God, that was such a And I think it was, I don't know, a few months back that I was mentioning, you know, one of my scary, scary dreams. I woke up just scared, and it was something so silly. It really was. And do you remember those silly bands that the kids would collect, like, a couple years ago? I don't know. Yeah. Well, in my dream, there was this little dog, and he was made of nothing but colorful silly bands. And to me, when I woke up, that was scary, okay? That was really creepy, this silly band puppy. So, okay, maybe I don't have as scary of dreams as, you know, the average horror writer. So maybe that's why I don't write them down. I mean, who would buy a book about a silly band puppy, really? But that bizarro, I can make that into a bizarro.
Yes.
Oh, that would be a great, great bizarro story, yes.
It's
yes,
a silly
it
band puppy. Well, I'll get writing right away. I'll get writing on that.
Yeah, you should do that. It's your job for tonight. After the show, you to write that.
Awesome. So, Veronica, we have a cute little segment here where we do 11 questions. Would you do 11 questions with me?
Sure.
Right. Yay. Right. Here we go. Here we go. Jingle time.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number one, what is the best or worst movie you ever saw?
Best movie, Event Horizon.
Yeah?
It's got sci-fi and horror all in one. I love it.
That was a good movie, yeah. Okay, let's see. What was your first grown-up horror novel that you read?
Oh, The Stand by Stephen King.
You know, I still have to read that. I hear it all the time. I do. So far, I've read a ton of Stephen King, but I have yet to read that one or even see the movie. I'm just a bad horror fan, just bad. Y'all should throw me out of the club. If there's a club and there's jackets, I don't deserve a jacket. Yeah. Okay, what is your favorite cuss word?
Oh, shit. Easy.
Is it really? You know, I think that the last time I asked this question, that was their favorite too. But my favorite cuss word is the F word. That one, you can use that in just about any way at all. It's just, it's perfect. It is. What would be the worst way that you can imagine yourself dying?
Oh, drowning. I have a serious fear of that because I almost drowned once.
Mm, both. Yeah. You and me both. We share that. It is my story, and I'm cutting in. It was when I was about four, and we were on holiday, and I was on my granddad's shoulders in a swimming pool, and he fell over, and I went under and inhaled a lot of water, and it was all horrible. And then, as a result, I did not learn to swim until I was 33. So there you go. I'm still very nervous around water. I only learned to swim when I had, with having children. Because I thought, well, if they fell in some water, I couldn't do anything. Literally, it was the most difficult thing I ever had to do. And I'm still not comfortable in it. So there you go.
Yeah. Go ahead, Veronica. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if he'd ever been to New Braunfels then, but if you're afraid of the water, you probably haven't.
If I'd ever watched, sorry, say again.
Been to New Braunfels to float down the Guadalupe River since you're in Texas?
Oh, good. No, I don't like water parks. I like theme parks, roller coasters and that, but mix that with anything with water like that, no, I'd just be. I'm just a big, big scaredy cat, really.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on here. What was your first pet?
A beagle. My parents got her with an IRS rebate check. They used to call them rebate checks back then, so my parents named her Rebate. It was the stupidest name in the world, but
it's
what we called her.
It's kind of cute. I know. I think it's kind of cute. who is your biggest influence, either with writing or in life generally?
Oh, gosh. An actress, Jamie Lee Curtis, is just, she's
the
just amazing.
Yes.
She does that. She writes children books. I actually met her when she did a book signing here for her children's books, and she is just as nice as can be. I mean, she was even joking with my husband to come to California and fix her Jaguar for her because he's a mechanic. I mean, she's so positive about everything. She's positive about herself, let herself go gray. She's the reason I let my hair go gray. I mean,
yeah. Well, hey, my daughter's not even 20 yet. She's had her hair gray, so that's the in thing now, I think. Maybe I should do it. I'm not going to do it. But.
So that means I'm actually in style then. Fantastic. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, whoopee.
I love this question, by the way. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
Well, as an atheist, I don't know.
You know, Veronica, you know what I would do? I would get myself a Black & Decker workmate.
Wow. Okay.
If I was some omnipresent thing, I would kill all child molesters right away. Sorry, that's...
That's
kind of what I would do.
That's a good answer, though. Yeah, I mean, it was way better than mine. I'm just going to sit up in my cloud and, poo-poo on. I don't know what I'm going to do, so I don't have a good answer to that. But I do like the question. It's a good question. let's see. Who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Yes, a ghoul. I mean, they eat dead flesh, but wouldn't you rather be a zombie and eat live flesh where it tastes better? But I don't know.
That is a really good answer because it ties into our next question, which is, if it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh? And I'm thinking by her answer, it would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
If I had no other choice.
No other choice. See, I think one of our guests was like, yeah, just to try to see what it tastes like. Sure. I don't know if I agree with that. Anyway. who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
I'm not familiar with them, but I'd have to say the Queen because she's put up with a lot of shit, I'm sure.
I had to say the Queen because I had no other answer. That was the only thing I could think of. And I was lucky to think of that. So I don't have a favorite. I should have said that. I don't have a favorite. Okay. Which franchise do you prefer? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Hellraiser.
Really? Okay.
Until
fine.
Until they got the other guy, then I got it. Then nobody wants to see it when they do that.
I'm still a fan of Halloween. I love Halloween. That's so awesome. What is your least favorite part of your writing process?
Oh, editing. Oh my God, do I hate editing. And I'm a stickler for that. Yeah, I go over my own shit at least 3 or 4 times, and if I don't stop, I keep changing stuff, so I just have to just make myself stop too.
But you know, I think that is the knack, I think, of the job, is knowing when to cut, when to stop, because like you say, we'd only ever write one novel or one story, but it would be polished, and it would, like you say, it would change every couple of weeks. But I know. Sometimes, you know, it's funny. I read a bit of an article today saying you can never over edit, and I think that's bullshit. I think you can.
I've
done it where I've had to chop down a short story, you know, to fit a word count, and chopped it down from sort of like 10,000 words to 7, and absolutely destroyed it. Absolutely just ruined the story because, you know, it's just, and like you say, as you go through it, you just, oh, I'll change this, I'll change that.
Yeah,
you can just ruin a story like that. But I think it's a writer's disease.
Yes. We'll have to come up with a name for that.
Yeah, writer's disease. There you go. I've got one on me.
Okay, I have to ask my bonus question. So, baseball or stamp collection? That's.
I did both. But
I'm hearing stamp collection, so let's go with that, shall we?
I was hearing baseball. Real fast before James mutes me, I'm very excited because catchers and pitchers reported, I think it was like Tuesday, and I'm very excited because the first game of the season is going on.
Strike one.
I've 2 words to say to that. Shite!
What's the other one?
Shite!
You knew that was coming. You did.
I did. I was trying to get it out as fast as I could before you did that.
Well, oh, God. We're in the World Series.
Well, you know, spring training is just going to start. That's, you know, but I'm excited for that. Yeah. So, okay, moving along before James does the, you know, the whole thing again. I'm sad to say that the first segment is just about, we're just about over with our first segment, and it went by way too fast. We're going to have you on for a whole show the next time you come on. So you have to promise to come back and see us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is fun.
It's been fun. Neighbor.
Yeah.
So tell us where we can find you online.
Let me pull up my stuff here. Oh, it disappeared on me too. Doggone it. I have my links here and I didn't realize I closed it. All right. Do you want me to just like speak them out slowly?
Yeah, go for it.
Well,
go for it. Why not?
Yeah.
Facebook.com, veronica.smith.author. And I have a Twitter, which is VEE_L_Smith. And I have an Amazon page as well. I guess the viewauthor.at/Veronica Smith. I think that's the quickie link that I did.
And we have all your links put up. I stalked you. So we have all your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Veronica, they can go there and they can do that then. So, again, it was awesome. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. And we're definitely going to have you come back and see us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm gonna beg a free book off you, actually. So
oh,
bear
you
in
got
mind.
It.
Bearing in mind, I can just pop round and get it. So,
stalker.
You can't say no. You just can't. So, no, that would be great. I will. I'll swap you with one of mine if you want. So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, to be fair, we can do that. Okay, Veronica. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will speak to you again very, very soon.
All right. Thank you. All
right.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
What a nice lady. That was great. I say that it's not often we get somebody on who lives literally just down the road from me. So that's exciting,
yeah,
isn't it?
I would be wary though. I mean that evil laugh. She's got a really good evil laugh there.
That was awesome. I loved that.
It was. It definitely was. Yeah.
I love that. So, hey, it's that time when you need to drink and I need a wee, so we'll be right back.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Well, singing along to that one, I hope Xtina was as well, or not. She's probably never heard it before. Have you?
Yeah.
I think Xtina actually spent the first 25 years of her life in a small cave, to be honest.
I didn't know that.
Safe to say. You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Hang your head in shame, woman.
You said we're gonna like go punk, you know, tonight, and I don't even know what that means. Like, I mean, okay, I know what it means, but I mean, I cannot think of an artist that'd be like, oh, they're punk. Like, I don't know.
I think
the problem is,
as I said in my intro, you know, the Americans sort of, by the time, you know, you guys got hold of punk, you just absolutely pissed all over it, to be honest with you. You know, you took the Ramones
did.
And. It was just no. I mean, the obviously it started off in Britain with the Pistols, obviously Sham 69, who actually got on later, and the Buzzcocks, etc. And you know, it was just so raw and visceral, and you're coming on the back of glam rock, funnily enough, which was entirely the opposite, and obviously disco and what have you. Suddenly punk just popped up.
Oh God!
And it was just
yeah.
Like, it was just like a literal kick in the nads. It was just fantastic. Breath of fresh air. So I was in a bit of a punk mood this week. So I thought, well, we'll do it now. And you requested the Steve Miller Band, which is sort of, you know, sort of musical treacle, isn't it, really?
I don't know. To me, it's just a fun, feel-good song. I used to play it all the time. Just, I don't know. It was a feel-good song.
Do you know,
it's that
bland. I've forgotten what it is already, to be honest. So you'll have to email me that one, because I've just forgotten. Anywho, it's that time.
Okay.
It is.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Howdy there, y'all.
Hi, y'all. How are you?
I'm fine. It's Becky the Reviewer. How are you, Becky the Reviewer?
I'm good. Y'all are okay?
Good. Right. That's enough about you. Let's talk about me now, shall we? Only joking.
Okay.
Only joking. What have you got for us? I'm going to sneeze, actually, so you better start talking. What have you got for us this evening?
Well, actually, I'm reviewing a book by Patrick James Ryan, and he was on the show last week. And
yes, I love him.
Book.
I do.
Oh, I do too. His book, Bloodverse, it's with Black Bedsheet Books, and it's a collection of stories, and it's not your average collection. I mean, you know, they all have a really different twist to them. I mean, I was surprised, and most everyone, you know, I would think, oh, I know where he's going with this. No, I didn't. It's very, very imaginative, very original. The really cool thing about this book is there's a story and then a horror poem that he's written, and boy, can he write them. You will love them when you read them. He's really, really talented. And then there's
a story.
Oh, yeah. And
I was going to say, when I do read them now, I'm going to be telling him he needs to submit to Beautiful Tragedies, too. So now that I still
love how Becky says poem. I really do.
Poem.
I've been reading that there poem, y'all.
He's getting too good at that, isn't he? He really is.
He is.
Well, I've lived in Houston for 7.5 years. Yeah, I'm getting there.
That fast enough. So you need Becky to teach you. She could, you know. And I love the way she says bye bye bye. It's so
bye
cute.
Bye. I'm fine.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, bye bye. Let's speak.
I say
Xtina,
a lot of things funny. They laugh at me about a lot of things I say. So you know.
Well, you know, it takes the pressure off of me for just a little bit because but I bring it on myself. I stumble into these things and I say, you know, weird stuff, and the next thing you know, people are laughing at me and making fun. And I'm thinking, oh, it's, you know, it's cute in a charming sort of way. But no, I think now that James just loves. I think he tries to find reasons to, you know, say mean things, and I will get him back one of these days. I really will. But the bad thing is, I don't think I could embarrass him. That's the bad thing.
Bring it
on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Oh, I bet we could.
Well, we could sing
you,
to him again.
You couldn't say anything about me that I couldn't say about me 10 times worse, to be honest. And I have no shame. I really, really have no shame. And Eckstein has been party to a couple of my deeply embarrassing stories, and she knows just how much shame I don't have.
That's true. This is very true.
That's true.
And we'll never talk about the dwarves. We'll never talk about the dwarves.
We don't ever discuss the dwarves, no. We had to buy his silence anyway, but, you know.
One of these days, I'm going to find out about you all on the dwarves. I'm telling you.
So anyway, about this book. Moving on swiftly.
It's really an excellent collection, and I highly recommend it to anyone. It's brutal and gripping horror at its finest. It really is. He can
awesome.
He can write.
And
fantastic. How many Becky points?
9.5.
That's a good one. We're gonna have to review something that's shite 1 week just so we can balance it out.
Okay,
do it like
I
two.
Do
give it two. No, you
oh
can't
God,
because we'd be sued. We'd be sued. Anyway, we don't deal with crap on this show. We really don't.
No.
Unless it's baseball talk, which is just terrible.
Hey, no.
Tedious.
Hey, extreme. See, Becky likes baseball, too. That's two against one, James.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but it's two against the
but
guy who's got
the
all
power
the buttons.
Of the mute
so.
Button.
I have the mute button, so it's not really
button.
An even balance, is it?
No.
So, anywho, thank you so much for that, Becky. Always a deep joy. I'm always moist for this time of an evening when Becky's turn to come on. So thank you. That would be a great title for a novel, wouldn't it? The Moistening. I think somebody needs to write that. There you go. So if someone out there is listening,
you can have
that one on me. Mm.
Oh, God.
That's all you.
It was an ordinary scrotum.
Oh, God.
On that note,
moving right along,
oh,
yeah.
Moving along swiftly. Okay, well, thank you so much. Moving on moistly, we'll speak to you next week, Becky, my dear.
Thank you, Becky.
Speak to you later.
Bye.
I like that. So, what happens now? Oh, it is. It's the lady with the great name, with the jazz singer, the jazz musician name. So I'm looking forward to chatting with what? Am I going to get into trouble?
M. Maybe. I love that last name. I do, because I wanted to make a joke too, and I want to be like, maybe she's here, maybe she's not.
Well, you'll find. I don't know if you ever watched Arrested Development, which was a great, great show, and they had the character on there, and she was called Maybe. She's the daughter, so they probably did all the jokes. They probably did them all. if you ever get a chance to see it, I mean, it's finished now, but I think they did about 6-7 seasons, but it was really good. A real proper dysfunctional family. It was hopefully. Are you there?
Maybe. I'm here. Are you there?
I can't believe she.
Yay!
Can I just disassociate myself from that joke, because he's just, you've probably heard all of the jokes, haven't you?
No, my husband and I have been sitting here listening to the show, and we are thoroughly entertained. I'm so excited that you come in after you defamate your own character and then invite me into the show. I'm like, how can I go wrong? I mean, they've already...
Yeah, we don't need
said the most embarrassing things about themselves, and then they invite me in. I appreciate that.
There you go. You got that. You got that. And I do love your name. You, honestly, just sounds like a jazz musician. It's good. Do you play jazz in any form?
I mean, I am unmusical, so I mean, yes, that is slightly jazz. But my husband is a drummer. He was a touring drummer for a very long time through our 20s before he was my husband, because we were broke.
Oh, wow.
And he's a musician.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I mean, we have a very musical life. This Saturday he's got a show. So, yeah, we are music people, but not jazz, not at all jazz, but
maybe you should work on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm always offbeat, so yeah, I'm jazz, whatever.
Yeah, that's what jazz is. Just it's funny, because my dad used to play the jazz band in his 20s, I mean, a long, long time ago. And we used to go to sort of a jazz club back in England, sort of every couple of weeks with him. And I sort of got into it. I mean, a lot of it sounded the same, but it was good. And then we went to New Orleans a couple of years ago and went to some of the jazz clubs there, you know, the smoky, boozy jazz. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's not my music of choice, but I really liked it.
Honestly, it really prepared me a lot for what I'm doing now, with going to signings and, you know, being in front of people. And, you know, it's kind of incredible having somebody who's used to being kind of in front of the public and always kind of on. And he knows, he comes to all of my signings with me. He's always I load in a full stage of band equipment. I can manage a table and a banner. So every morning when we're at signings, he's just like, you do you, I'll go get you coffee, set up your table, I'll be right back, you chill out. I mean, it's really great being with a musician, because he knows how to gig. So it's really incredible living his side of the life, where I'm hauling drum equipment around the country, and then this side of the life where now we're, you know, peddling books like gypsies all over the planet, and he's right by my side, and, you know, he's here for it. I love it.
That is so cool.
Fantastic.
I think you're like my heroes. I was going to say I want to be you when I grow up, but I should already be grown up. So
I think, to be fair, that's Xena's way of saying she wants to wear your skin, so I think you should be afraid by it about now, to be honest.
Well,
consider moving, emigrating.
On the horse. On the horse side of things, yes, I probably shouldn't divulge too much personal information, but it's not bad skin to be in.
Don't tell her that. Do not tell her that. She will wear your skin. She will. I promise you. So anywho, moving along swiftly. About your book, Smoke and Mirrors, which
my
is a
book.
Contemporary romance, and for Xena's benefit, that means it's set now.
Shut up!
She asked a guest a few weeks ago who wrote contemporary, and she said, "So when is it set?" So seriously.
Okay, but the blurb sounded kind of futuristic to me. Okay.
It is set in contemporary time. It is set in a contemporary time, and it's in a small town. And I'm from a small town, which comes easy to me as far as writing banter and wit and world building. That comes easy to me with a small town contemporary romance.
I do have other contemporary romance, which are set in cities, which I find fascinating, and I love it, and I love city life, but I live in a small town. So Smoke and Mirrors is set in a small town where these kids kind of grew up in high school a few years apart, and so he kind of leaves town for a while and joins the Air Force, and while he's gone, the girl that he kind of had his, you know, his mark on, his sights on, life happens to her, and since he never really committed to her back then while they were in high school, and obviously who commits to anybody in high school, she kind of, life progressed for her, and she had a child. So when he comes back, she has a child, she's a single mother, he's a fireman, home from the Air Force, and there's still a lot of feelings brewing between them. And he doesn't want to get in the way. He doesn't want to become another obstacle for her. And so patiently, he kind of waits for her and helps her in small ways that he can. And she's really attracted to that. She kind of digs the thing that he's doing, where he's kind of doing these good deeds. And he kind of thinks that he's flying under the radar, but not really so much. She's picking up on what he's putting down, and she's into it. So she gets all, you know, temperature goes up in the panty region, and things pursue.
It's been a while since I read a romance. I think I need to. I like that, the whole I like that expression you use, the temperature's going up in the panty region. I like that.
Sorry, could you well, yeah. I don't understand. Could you explain that to me? I don't understand that.
They're fucking in the romance novel. They're getting it on. They're having sex.
Thank you. I understand.
It gets a little yes.
So some romantic things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, the temperature in panty regions, do you have a reading for us?
Could you stop saying panty region now, please?
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
I mean, it's an occupational hazard that is very hard to avoid, but I will try for your benefit to thank you,
panty region. I'm hoping that the reading says panties a lot. I'm hoping.
I mean, I'm kind of feeling out of depth here because I'm not really sure that. I'm a little nervous because I don't know if this is your demographic, if this is your audience, but
we have to go.
Yeah, no, it is.
We don't just
cater for the horror bunch. We have a whole wealth of things. We've actually even had children's books. My daughter reading a excerpt from a children's book and reviewing it. So yeah. Yep, you pretty much anything and everything on this show. Even panty regions. I think the more panty regions, the better. We do like our panty regions.
I know that you're trying to make me feel better with the children's book thing, but I'm about to read a sex scene, so that doesn't really help me. If there are any children listening,
it's time to go to bed now. Okay?
Yes.
So, off you go. It's safe. Safe.
Well, the excerpt that I'll be reading is from a little bit inwards of the book, and I decided that, and since it was implied more than one time in my emails that this is an R-rated program, I decided to take an R-rated scene. I don't know, because I'm a masochist. I don't know why I did this. Because I'm not a narrator, and I also picked a scene that was from a male's point of view. So,
nice.
Wish me luck. I mean, yesterday was Ash Wednesday. If you have any prayers left in you, send them my way.
No, I ran out of those years ago. Seriously, so, you're fine. You.
Honestly, I hope you get a boner. I hope that Becky gets all moist.
Well, I, I must confess. I mean, with all the mention of panty regions, I'm kind of working on one now. So away you go.
Hey, you know what? That is my business. My business is to make men hard, make women wet, and get the friction happening in the sheets. You know what? It's funny when I think, Danny, I tell my husband, you know that I've got more women off than you, right? And he's like, yeah, I know. I like that about you.
Oh, my gosh. This is
awesome. That is impressive.
All right. Without further ado, here is my excerpt from Smoke and Mirrors, which is a standalone second chance romance between an Air Force firefighter and the love that he left behind. I respected her body. I wasn't just there for my pleasure or for work. It wasn't something I used to manipulate. It was a vessel that carried her. Her breasts fell apart just so, and without the support of her top, they relaxed to their natural places, beautiful places, sacred places. Her nipples were hard, and I made them harder, but first, I couldn't tear my eyes off of her, couldn't help but let them wander and chart her body. She was bare to me, and I mapped our first adventure. Two more knots and the fabric around her waist, and I glanced at her face just once before I dared to touch them. I needed her permission, needed the green light, needed her to know I was giving and not taking, and that whatever it was she needed, I could deliver. That started with her consent, but didn't end with it. Not only did I want her willing, I wanted her hungry for me, needing me, demanding me. So with steady hands, I played with the strings and I waited. It was no burden. Faith watched me, almost curiously, and I leaned in near her breast, and then I felt her breath hitch, watching me grow steadily closer. Her chest filled, and the fullness brought her pink, peachy nipple to my waiting tongue. I didn't close my mouth around her. I wouldn't rush. It wasn't even dark yet, and as far as I was concerned, she had me all night if she wanted. My two-way radio was off, and somewhere in the house, the whole damn world could be on fire, but that night I was all hers, and she would be my fire. I'd stoke her, and then I'd douse the flame just before she exploded. I'd tend to only her, and when she was ready, I'd let her blaze out of control, because some fires don't need to be put out. She just needed the air to breathe and the room to burn like hell. I offered the other side of her chest the same attention. She purred when I finally licked, hummed when I circled her skin with my tongue, exhaled with a heavy sigh, nearly a moan, and then I finally sucked. Glancing up, I found a slack face, her mouth open and her eyes closed. Yes, I'll take care of you. Her fingers found mine, and like I'd prayed they would, she helped me loosen the knots on her hips. She made the choice. That's right. Come to me. With the fabric loose, her legs fell apart, and she leaned further back on her palms, hovering over the cushion behind her. My pulse quickened. She gave me the flood of urgency I loved. I would stay calm, though. I didn't expose her the first chance I got, but left the untethered bottom part of her suit stay where it was. I'd make damn sure she felt everything, experience all the pleasure she deserved. The world revolved around that precious body in my hand. My eyes battled, wanting both to watch her face for clues and see the landscape as I explored her body. She was captivating, and I was lost to the unique details. The softness of her tummy. She was a mother, and her body was cataloged by how life-changing it had been for her. There were faded stretch marks, like sets of parentheses flanking her navel, proof of her femininity. They were hers and probably neglected, and so I kissed them. My fingers splayed. I caressed her neck and chest, and when I felt her heart thud under her hand, beneath her breast, I felt them there. The water cooled my body as it sank deeper, tasting new flavors of her, coveting the feel of her skin on my lips. She adjusted, and the thought of her bare ass scraping against the rough cement sprung me into action. I wrapped my arm around her back, lifted her off the ground, and pulled the soft float underneath, and then set her back down. Faith was malleable, pliant in my arms. Her blinking was slow as she reclined more, slowly spreading her legs wider for me. Another choice had been made, an invitation. I kissed her inner thigh just above her knee, and her foot gently caressed my side. Thank you, Foxtrot. Aaron, it's been so long. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't mind. Besides, her body language said otherwise. Her hips rocked toward me. Her foot stroked my ribs. Her hands reached for me. My mouth ascended to her left thigh. Aaron, what about you? She panted. What more did I need? There'd been nights upon nights I'd thought of her, of this. I'd survived fine on just that. I was finally with her and felt wealthier for each second that passed. My mouth was on a mission, and it headed to her center. This is what I want, I requested, my breath away from the fabric covering her middle, and she jumped. I paused, and my eyes met hers. I'm ticklish. What a fun secret. Okay, I'm done.
Hey, there was a little more there. I saw more there, but we'll stop there. Okay.
There was a little bit more there, but I felt like I had been reading too slow, and I was like, ooh, I feel like I'm at the five-minute mark.
Oh, you know, I did not mind 1 minute because one bit at all. I'm a little flustered here. We're talking about panty regions and things, and that was hot.
So I'm almost done. Could you do another minute for me? Could you?
Well, if you want to come, I want to come. Let's just keep going. No, I'm just joking.
Let's just go for it. Let's just do that.
This will become a different kind of show altogether now. But, man,
yeah.
I think listenership... I think our listenership would, like, double, though. I do, you know.
I always think
about
the feeling.
Two people.
I can feel my pulse pounding in my ears. I am so, like...
I was never blessed this hard. things are twitching over here. I have to confess. So, which is always
it's
a sign of a good yarn.
I've read that scene. I don't know how many times I've read that scene through like editing and pre-editing and then for real editing and then proofreading and then reading it again. It's like I know I've read that scene 100 times, but. I don't know if I've read it out loud, and that is a completely different thing for an author.
It
that
is.
Is uncomfortable.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We had a long time ago. I think it was E.K. Blair when we had her on the first time, and she had a reading for us, and she started reading it, and it said cock and something else, and she was like. You know, I can't believe. And when we were talking to her, she would say something, and she wouldn't say the word cock. But you know, she's like, that's the first time I had to read that out loud, and it was so cute. It was, and I, you know what, I stumbled on it. I read a one of our earlier shows. I was reading one of my poems, and it was one of the sexier ones, and it had that word in it. And I had read this poem over and over again, but never out loud. And I stumbled upon it. I really did. So it's a totally different thing. You can write it, and you can read it in your head. Yeah, saying it out loud, especially when someone's listening. You know, that's totally different.
I kept telling Danny, and no offense to your radio show, I'm sure you have a vast subscribership. I was like, Danny, it's just me and you and them, like that. I just kept saying it over and over, and he just kept looking at me like, you're an idiot. I'm like, that's the only way I can get through this.
Yeah, well, James,
well,
you
I mean,
time, you know,
we
have
we could probably tell. I mean, we have the listener, but I mean, our record listenership was about what, 800. So it could well be there's about 800 people have just heard that.
So you weren't supposed to say that to her. I was going to wait until after.
The panty region.
That doesn't hurt my stomach. That doesn't make me want to vomit. Like, I'm cool.
I'm cool.
I mean,
how much have we been drinking? I think we're all cool right now. We are. We're all good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope that slurry rendition of my book wasn't off-putting.
No, that was... I started sweating. I did. I did. I started sweating. But now that we have the reading out of the way, I am really anxious to get to the embarrassing story because you are so much fun. I can't wait to hear the embarrassing story you have for us.
Okay.
You know, like,
So the embarrassing. I don't know why that was the first one that. It, you know, when you're at parties and people are just telling their most embarrassing stories, it just seems like this is the one that's always the one that comes up. And when you said that, it was the first that when you asked me earlier, hey, do you have any embarrassing stories? I was like, sure. And then I'm like,
yeah, I do.
Oh my God, why did I do that? I should have thought of something that was funny, but wildly less embarrassing. So I guess I'll just go into the story. My husband and I weren't dating that long. And at the time, he lived with his grandmother, which is a little bit embarrassing to begin with. But anyway,
I still thought
he was hot. He was a drummer. And he was on, you know, limited funds, whatever. She lived in the city, and he lived with her. And we're still very close with Danny's grandma. Well, we are at her house, and she is a spunky character. Like, this woman is my spirit animal. When I grow up, I want to be Danny's grandma. She had a boyfriend. They were all the time dancing out at, like, country clubs. Not country clubs like ritzy, schmaltzy country clubs. They were at, like, the country bars. And so... Uh-huh. She would go and dance, and she'd be out all night. And so she let Danny a note that said, I'm going to be gone this weekend. Have fun. And so I was like, woohoo, house to ourselves, you know. And when Danny and I first started dating, we were 21, 20 years old. And so Danny and I, as things do with young couples in love, and we got in the shower, and we were just being silly, and we were exploring, and we were being dumb, and we were blowing bubbles because my husband's a drummer, and even at that time, like, he's just got these weird pinkies. Like, his pinkies are kind of deformed from holding, like, a stick. You can probably hear him happy about it. So he holds his stick, and even when he has his hand straight out, and if he's flexing his fingers, his pinky is still not really straight. So when we're blowing soapy bubbles in the shower, he can't really do it. And so I took it upon myself to be the bubble blower. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and soapy parts happen, and we realize that if you blow bubbles and stick them to soapy skin, they'll stick. So I'm downstairs blowing Danny some bubble balls. And we're just having a really good time. We're laughing and giggling. We're both naked. We're both in the shower. We're both stupid, young, crazy in love. And I'm blowing in bubble balls. And then after that moment was finished, I stood up. And I stood up way too fast and way too close to the faucet. And I literally almost passed out because I looked down at my feet and there's blood everywhere.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Here's Danny's coming in the background with commentary, but... I'm bleeding everywhere.
Oh my goodness!
Myself. Oh, not a good move. No, I immediately got a fever. I start sweating. I'm seeing spots. I'm bending over, like, what did I just do? And Danny's like, get out, get out, get out. So we get out of the shower. He bends me over the toilet, and he's like, let me look at this. And the last thing you want a new boyfriend to see is, like, your wide-open asshole, like, on the toilet.
Oh, my God.
I literally still have a parallel scar. It is 1 inch off of my ass crack. It's about 3 inches long. But at the time, I'm just bleeding, bent over like a toilet. My boyfriend at the time, he's looking at me and he's like, Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, God.
It's not going to stop me. Long story short, Yeah, he goes to the store and buys the new skin stuff, comes back. I'm still waiting on the toilet. He throws this, like, acid on my ass.
Ow.
And then so much more pain, and I'm writhing and screaming. It's just torture 101 for beginners. It's like S&M. You're going to make me feel all of this pain. But then, so after all of that's done, the pain's gone, my ass is done bleeding, we both turn around, and part of my ass is still hanging out of the faucet. Like,
oh,
the skin that I scalp is, like, still hanging there. And it's so embarrassing. I'm like, oh, my God. And
I love that story.
And then we got married. And then we got married.
Fantastic.
In our house.
So
can I just say,
I mean, speaking as a bloke, he probably still wanted sex even after all that. He was probably still feeling horny.
He was not. He wasn't going at the back playground that night. He was going at the front playground. Not even coming at me that way. He was like, "Oh, are you sure? Maybe you should be on top." And I'm like, all right, that's what I like anyway. Sure, yeah, you win.
Woo, you go, girl. That was an amazing story. I love it. And
we were
just about out of time. We have to have you back on the show for the whole show because we have to have more panty melting readings. And
panty regions. We need more panty. We don't change the show to the panty region.
You're doing your monster thing, James. But so we definitely have to have more reading, and we need I bet you she's got some more really good embarrassing stories in her too. I'm sensing this. So
I have a lot of embarrassing stories and a lot of really filthy excerpts I can bring to the table. Anytime you want to have me back, I appreciate it. Your show is great. We listened to almost the whole entire thing, and thank you so much for having me on tonight.
We're quite welcome, and I usually ask people where we can find you online, but we have all your links put up on our Facebook page because I stalked you beforehand. So if anybody wants to stalk, and maybe go to our Facebook page, and you can do it there.
Oh,
and again,
really?
Yeah, you're still doing that
adventure.
Weird monster thing, James. So.
All right, fine. I'll be James from now on. It was
I know,
a great
right?
show,
Somebody.
Mo. You did excellent. You're brilliant,
Yay.
Mo. We should have you back all the time.
Okay, now this is the time where James normally says, "Time to say goodnight, Xtina." So that's your line. Say, "Time to say goodnight, Xtina." Say it.
Time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina. That's it. And then we. Yeah!